We don't need to organize, advertise, intellectualize, or popularize. God says what we need is to spiritualize the church.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We looked at that first basic essential in terms of a biblical method in evangelism. We saw that first of all, we need a living contact with men. But I want to begin by saying that it is not enough to be simply in living contact with men. We must be in living contact with God as well. We must have a vital, personal experience with Jesus Christ. If we ever hope to be a biblical witness, we must be deepening our relationship with Him. And there are at least three great reasons why we must come to develop this living contact with God. First of all, there's a personal reason. Without a living contact with God, we will have no message. Secondly, there is a public reason. Without a living contact with God, we will have no credibility. By this I mean that others, that is the public to which we minister, will be reluctant to listen to us if our testimony has a hollow sound, if it does not ring true as they listen to what we're saying. They will be reluctant to listen to us. Evangelism has been defined, and I think this is a beautiful definition of evangelism. Evangelism has been defined as one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. Evangelism is one beggar, that's what all of us are in the spiritual sense, telling another beggar where to get bread, but we cannot offer the bread of life convincingly to other people. If we ourselves remain beggars with emaciated hands, if we go out to the watching world and our hands are gaunt, they're shriveled, and they're withered, it's evident that God is not at work in our lives. How will we ever be able to convince another man that he needs the Lord Jesus Christ? If the bread of life has evidently and clearly not satisfied us, why should non-Christians suppose that it will satisfy them? We will have absolutely no credibility unless we deepen our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we Christians do not sufficiently realize how much we are watched. You are a watched people. You're a watched people at work. You're a watched people in your neighborhood. You're a watched people within the framework of your family if you have unsaved loved ones. You are a watched people wherever you go, wherever you develop normal connections of life and you profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a watched people. People are wanting to know, does this Jesus Christ with whom you identify and about whom you speak so freely on occasion, does this Jesus Christ really meet needs? Is he really meeting your needs? We are a watched people. We make proud claims for Jesus Christ. But the question is, do we supply any evidence to validate those claims? We exalt Christ as an all-sufficient Savior. But can anyone else see that we ourselves are realizing that sufficiency daily in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our testimony at work, on the job? We make these proud claims for Christ, and rightfully we should, because Christ can meet the needs of people in a way that no one else can. We speak of the all-sufficient Christ, but is there evidence in our daily lifestyle that His sufficiency is meeting our needs? If we are not deepening our relationship with Him, if we are not developing that kind of relationship with the Son of God, we will have a great deal of difficulty convincing others that they ought to come to the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. I wonder how many people are saying in your world of influence and in mine, in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood, and on the job where you work, I wonder how many people are saying, I would become a Christian if I could just see one. I have all kinds of information about Jesus Christ. What I need now is a living demonstration that what he claims to do, he actually does. He wants to do it in your life. He wants to do it in mine. He wants us to become living demonstrations of his power. And as we deepen our relationship with him and develop this living contact with God, we will increase the potency and the power of our witness for the Son of God. They hear much, these people around us, from our lips. Often, do they see anything in our lives that corresponds to what we say? May I suggest something that is very striking to my mind? The most powerful single hindrance to the spread of the gospel in our day and age, the most powerful single hindrance to the spread of the gospel is the low level of our own Christian lives. The unregenerate masses around us will not believe what they hear from our lips if they are daily faced with a contradiction of it in our lives. If they're hearing one thing from our lips and seeing another thing in our lives, they will not believe what they hear from our lips if they see a contradiction of it in our lives. We are a watched people. And there are people who are saying, I would become a Christian if I could just see one. And God is saying to you and me, do you really want to be involved in the evangelistic process? Do you really want to bring a lost soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you must, number one, of course, develop a living contact with men, but beyond that, you must develop a living contact with me. You must be deepening your relationship to the Son of God. You must be allowing me to satisfy all of your needs. You must be allowing me to strengthen your personal life, your marriage, your family, your church, your testimony on the job. You must be in living contact with me. And as people see the radical transformation that takes place in your life, they will want what you have. Now, there are two reasons why we need a living contact with God. Something personal. Without it, we have no message. Something public. Without it, we have no credibility. They just won't listen to us if they can't see it in our lives. Now, there's a third reason, and I'll close with this. The third reason is something practical. Something practical. A practical reason. And that is, without a living contact with God, we will have no power. We are utterly dependent upon God for His power. It isn't our ability to package the gospel like a plastic toy and use some Madison Avenue technique to sell it, to get a man to Christ. It isn't that ability that will do it. We're dealing with eternal verities, the eternal destiny of souls. We're dealing with things that really matter. No human initiative, no human trick, no human gimmick will get the job done. We need the power of God. And without a deepening relationship with Him, we will have no power. It is our belief that apart from the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit, convicting, illuminating, wooing, and drawing, we shall have absolutely no success at all in overcoming the unsaved man's indifference and hostility to the things of God. I believe the Bible teaches that. It is our conviction, our belief, that apart from the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit in convicting, illuminating, wooing, and drawing the lost man to Christ, we shall have absolutely no success at all in overcoming the unsaved man's indifference and hostility to the things of God. We are utterly dependent upon the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to flow out from us and touch those lives and woo those lives and draw them to that place where they're willing to decide for Christ. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Do you know that it's absolutely imperative for a man to say that Jesus is the Lord in order to be saved? That's what Romans 10 and verse 9 says. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if we will say with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, confess the Lord Jesus, or say with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. If we don't do that, we won't be saved. And the Bible says no man can do that except the Holy Spirit woo him and draw him, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. And John says, when he that is the Spirit is come, he will reprove, that is, he will convict and he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit will do his gracious work. He'll open up a man's heart. And then that man must personally decide for himself to accept or reject that message that's presented to him by the Holy Spirit. But we are utterly dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit to have success in the ministry of evangelism. In order for the Holy Spirit to be able to flow through us freely in this evangelistic process, we must be developing and deepening a vital and living contact with God. We're taught in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that it is the Holy Spirit who provides power and witness. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1 and verse 8. And then ye shall be witnesses unto me. It's the Holy Spirit who provides power in gospel witness. And I think beyond that, we must recognize that there is no substitute for this vital union. We are absolutely, utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Without His working, we shall be utterly impotent in our Christian witness. I think there's a dangerous tendency in modern Christendom. Too many churches are stooping to the level of purely human methods to overcome modern man's indifference and hostility to the gospel. How do they do it? Well, they organize. If that doesn't work, they advertise. If that doesn't work, they intellectualize. If that doesn't work, they popularize the gospel. They popularize the church. To organize means to develop a new program. To advertise means to develop a new publicity. To intellectualize means to develop a new philosophy. To popularize means to develop a new ploy. God says, no! We don't need to organize, advertise, intellectualize, or popularize. God says what we need is to spiritualize the church. We don't need new programs, new publicities, new philosophies, and new ploys. We need the old-fashioned power of the Holy Spirit in gospel witness. And we won't have it unless we deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only as we have a living contact with the Son of God that we develop that. What I'm saying is that without a living contact with God, we will have no power to do the work of evangelism. It may be that the dear Lord is speaking to your heart in a special way, and you just want to be involved in that ministry of New Testament evangelism in whatever way God would have you to be involved. Maybe it's opening up your home to an evangelistic Bible study. Maybe it's witnessing for Christ on a daily or weekly basis in the normal connections of life. Maybe it's nothing more than inviting someone to church with the ultimate goal of seeing them come to Christ and seeing them saved. But I want to tell you this. You nor I will ever be successful and fruitful in the ministry of biblical evangelism until, one, we have a living contact with men. We follow the example and teaching of Jesus. We're like salt rubbed into the secular society, or light dispelling the darkness all around us. We have that compassionate, loving spirit of Jesus building bridges to those who had such great needs. And beyond that, we need not only a living contact with men, but we need a living contact with God. And if we don't have that living contact with God, we are taught in the Scriptures that we will have no message. That's a personal problem. We'll have no credibility. That's a public problem. And we'll have no power. That's a practical problem. Let me ask you this. Is there a secret poverty to your spiritual experience which has a way of sealing your lips, shutting your mouth, and tying your tongue? Is that the reason we're silent in our witness? We have that secret poverty. We have that facade. Nobody else knows about it, but God and me, we know about it. Secret poverty. Does it cause our witness to have a hollow sound when we do speak? Have we ever supplied any genuine evidence which validates the proud claims we make of Christ's sufficiency? We speak of Christ's sufficiency to the lost. Are there living demonstrations of that sufficiency in our lives, personal lives, marriages, families, our testimony on the job? Do we try to share the bread of life while our hands remain emaciated, shriveled, and withered and gone? Is God's Spirit hindered from giving us His power for witness because of the shallowness of our own relationship to the Son of God? These are probing questions. They're questions that every one of us must answer. And if the answer to any one of those questions is negative, then it may be that this message is for you.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The evangelistic efforts of many Christians are ineffective because they are so diffuse. We have a tendency to spread ourselves too thin.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.